Welcome to Sunday School today. It's good to be here. It's good to see each one of you. And it's good to have our visitors with us today. I think they're from Texas. And they're new in this area and they found us on the internet. That's good. And we appreciate all of you being here today if you're well and able to be in the Lord's house. Turn in James chapter number 4, first of all, today. The book of James. In chapter number 4. This is Stewardship Month. We've been talking about Dear Lord, help me to, our theme, this month is, Dear Lord, teach me what to do. Teach me what to do. And, you know, that's a daily thing, isn't it? As a child of God, for the Lord to teach us what we are to do in our lives. And, I'm glad to know that God does teach us. Amen. If we ask Him to. He'll show us, He'll direct us, He'll help us. In our lives, He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Amen. In our lives daily as we walk here on this earth. And what a blessing that is, what a promise that is to all of us that know the Lord as our Savior. Last week we talked about, Dear Lord, teach me what to do about my relationship with You. About my relationship with You. We dealt with these questions. Why do we need a relationship with God? Why do we need a relationship with God? We know we do because we're all sinners. We all have, our fellowship is broken with God since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden there. We don't have fellowship with God whenever we reach the age of accountability, whatever age that may be in our lives, depending on where we're raised, how we're raised. But when we reach a certain age, we do wrong and we know we do wrong, then the fellowship between us and God is broken. And therefore, we need a relationship with Him. And then we asked the question also last week, why does God desire to have a relationship with us? That's an amazing question, isn't it? Why does God want to relate to us, have a relationship with us? He created man for His fellowship. He created human beings for His fellowship. And therefore, God desires that relationship with mankind, that He might have fellowship with us here in this world in which we live in. So again, today we're continuing our thought, teach me what to do. Today we're going to ask this question. Teach me, dear Lord, what to do about my place in Your church. What is my place in Your church? Okay, you're born again. You're a child of God. You're saved. Now, what are you going to do with your life? We have a place. God has a place for us to be in. God has a place for us to grow. God has a place for us to serve. That's what we call the church. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find today as we look at this, Dear Lord, teach me what to do about my place in Your church. Teach me. How are we taught? How are we taught? No matter what it is in our lives, how we're taught. We're taught by instructions, aren't we? We're also taught by examples. People are good examples to us, and they teach us things in our life. I'm thankful today for the many people that I've known in my life in the past that were good examples to me and have taught me many things that I know in my life. I appreciate that so much. Also think of the instructors that have taught me, you know, by instructing me, you know, through reading the Word or some book or something and guiding me and teaching me what I needed to know. And, you know, now the Lord here is telling us, teach me what to do about my place in Your church. Now, there's only one source where we're going to find this kind of information at. What am I to do in God's church? What am I to do in God's church? There's only one source of information that we can get this true information. That's to what we call the Bible. When we refer to the Bible, we refer to God's Word. We find as a Christian today, as a believer today, this is our instruction book, the Bible. And when we ask ourselves today, ask God to teach us what to do about my place in Your church, we only find the answer in God's Word. In God's Word. We're going to look at that today. Before we get started in another lesson, let's pray. Father, we thank You once again for this day You've given us. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to assemble together in Your house. Lord, as we open Your Word now, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. He will lead and guide in all that we say and all that we do today. Dear God, we do lift up Sister Sue and the family. I pray you bless them and comfort them during this time. Lord, we know that it's appointed to man once to die. And Lord, we realize, Lord, that our day is going to come one day. Lord, as our brothers already said, help us to be prepared. Help us to know for sure that if we were to die, we'd go to heaven. Lord, this is the most important decision anybody could ever make in their life. God, I pray that everyone here has made that decision and has trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Father, we're looking now, this morning, Lord, as asking you to help us and show us, Lord, our place today in your church. God, I pray the scriptures that we read together, Lord, might direct us, help us, and encourage us, Lord, in our walk with you now. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for each one who's come today. May you have your will and way in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in James chapter number 4, James 4, verse 7 and 8, first of all, as we look first of all at, Lord, teach me what to do about my place in your church. My place in your church. In James 4, look at verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to who? God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, it says. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The first way to find your place in church, my place in church, is first of all to submit to God and His Word. We have to submit ourselves to God, and we have to submit ourselves to His Word. Again, I said the Bible is the believer's instruction book. The believer's instruction book. The Bible is the absolute truth, folks. There's no errors in the Word of God. It is infallible. It is inspired. It is the preserved Word of God. And therefore, we can find ourselves knowing as we read and study the Bible, what is God's place for me in His church? In His church. There's something that we all can do. And I'm thankful that God, in His miraculous ways, puts people together, brings people together that have different abilities and different talents and different abilities, just to do God's work, no matter what it is, talents and gifts that He gives us. And we see here that we're to submit ourselves to God and His Word to find our place in God's church. You know, I knew not long after I was saved, I was really young. I got saved at 18. But nevertheless, there was something. I got saved, and I knew I was saved, no doubt about that. But there was something I knew that God wanted me to do. He wanted me to do. And I began to ask my pastor and ask different people, and they continually told me, stay in the Word, read the Bible. You know, and I'm thankful today for that good wisdom they gave me to stay in the Word of God, and God will direct you. He'll direct you to what He wants you to do in your life. And I'm grateful for that today, and that's what we're talking about here today. We know that the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. We know also that the instrument that God used to pen His Word was man. And therefore, as a result, what do we have? We have the infallible Word of God that is true, and we can count on it, and it's there for us as a born-again child of God, you see, to get instruction that we may find our place in God's church. And you found your place today in God's church. This is your place right now in church, in Sunday school, you see. And therefore, we come together to learn, to grow, hopefully, and to know more about the Word of God. Now, as we look at the Word of God, what does the Word of God do for us in directing it? How does it help? What are the works, maybe I should say, of the Word of God in helping us find our place in the church as a Christian, as a born-again child of God? What does the Bible do for us? Turn over to 2 Timothy. All of you know these verses back, I should say. 2 Timothy. And chapter number 3. Today we're going to see the Bible does two things. The Bible does two things. The Word of God does two things. The purpose, maybe I should say, of the Bible. First of all, we see in verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says this, and that from a child, Paul's writing to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We find the purpose of the Bible is salvation. Salvation. For everybody. God's desire for everybody to be saved. We have the Word of God to give us instruction as who we are. We all are sinners. We're lost. We're undone. Our righteousness, as we talked about the other week, is as filthy rags. You see, we're all undone. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. The Bible instructs us as who we are as individuals, you see. It helps us to see who we are, first of all, and also tells us what He'd done for us in giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us. And therefore, we find the Bible is a book that is wise unto salvation to those that will read it. I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for the Spirit of God that convicts us, that draws us to reality of who we are and who we can be if we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work on Calvary for you and I. So we see here that the Bible is, its purpose is salvation. It's salvation. Paul says unto Timothy here, because you've heard the Word of God from your childhood, your mother has read the Scriptures to you. She's taught you the Bible. And because you have been in that place, that atmosphere, you have come to know Christ as your Savior. Listen, people that have godly parents, parents that will read the Bible and pray with them, they are blessed people. They are blessed people, and they don't even realize it. Because it's a direction in which their parents want their children to go. That is, first of all, to be saved. To be saved. You see, become a child of God. So we see, first of all, make thee wise unto salvation. The Bible is a sure guide in our way to eternal life. Heard a man say not too long ago, my son and his wife is going to church now. And he said, you know, that's good. That's good. And it is good. There's no better place to be than in church. Because you get the truth if the Bible is taught. And you'll learn something from the Bible, hopefully, that you can apply in your life. But the Bible will make you wise unto salvation. That's the purpose of the Bible. Now, notice also, not only the purpose of the Bible, but we also see here, so in verse number 16, some more things that Paul is speaking about here. This is how we're to live as a Christian, Christian living. The Bible gives us the purpose of salvation, and it also gives us instruction as how we're to live. How we're to live our life. Now listen, we're talking about submitting ourselves to God and His Word. Why? That we might find our place in His church. We might find our place in His church. Submitting to God. First of all, be saved. Don't join the church. Hopefully, it does happen sometimes, but people don't need to join a church until they're saved. I mean, you don't join a church to be saved. You get saved first, and then you join a church. Okay? This is very important. It makes you wise unto salvation. The Bible does. And then you find a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, soul-winning church, and you join that church and become part of it and get active in it, as we're going to be talking about a little later on. So we find here, first of all, the works of the Word of God makes you wise unto salvation. Now look at verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It didn't say some of it, did it? It says all Scripture. That's from Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is what? Profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is what we believe. Why do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? Why do you believe in inspiration of the Scriptures? Why do you believe these things? You believe those things because you've read, you've been taught, you've heard the Word of God, the Bible. And you take the Bible as truth. Therefore, it's doctrine to us. Oh, may we never cease to hear doctrine. We need to hear doctrine every time we come to God's house, that we might have in our minds and our hearts what we believe. Somewhere out there, if you go visiting, somebody's going to ask you one day, why do you believe this? Or why do I believe that? And we need to know, we need to have scripture to back up what we believe. A lady asked me this morning about eternal security. I said, I need to give you some verses from the Word of God. Not just one, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that teach this is a doctrine that independent Baptists believe. And therefore, we believe it. Why? Because it's found in the Word of God. You see, it's a doctrine. Doctrine is so important today. You don't just go to church just to get entertained or be emotional high. You go to church to be fed the Word of God to grow as a Christian. Amen. If we don't grow when we come, if we're not taught something, we don't learn something while we're here, we're wasting our time. That's why we try to pray and ask God to give us as teachers the wisdom and the ability to try to present the Word of God, because we don't want you to waste your time while you're here. We want you to learn something. Now, I realize a lot of things we're talking about is repetition. But repetition is a good teacher. It's a good teacher also. But nevertheless, we find that the Bible, the purpose is for our living, and that we might have doctrine. We might know what we believe. What we believe. Now, also, we says not only in verse 16 is for the profit of a doctrine, but for reproof. The Bible is profitable for reproof. That shows us when we're wrong. The Bible shows us when we're wrong. I'm grateful today that we have the Word of God to show us when we're wrong. It reproves us from that which is wrong. From that which is wrong, you see. Be sure that we're speaking and teaching the Word of God and sharing the Word of God when we do it. Not something that is error. We want always to share the truth. But the Bible is profitable for reproof, for correction, it says right here. Shows us what is right. See, it directs us in that which is good. The Bible directs us in that which is good. We see here, it's profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It shows us how to do what is right. Shows us how to do what is right. Shows us how to live right, how to act right, how to speak right. You know, how to treat our fellow man. You know, those that we come in contact with at work, you know, at the grocery store, at the gas station, how to talk to them, communicate with them. It shows us how to do this, you see. So we see that we're to submit ourselves to God and His Word for these reasons. Why do we do this? Verse 17 tells us that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The child of God. You know, we want to be complete, don't we? We want to be completely furnished, that we might be able to do what's pleasing to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we go from day to day. So we see, first of all, Lord, teach me what to do about my place in your church. Submit ourselves to God and His Word. And when we do this, we're going to submit ourselves to authority. To authority. Now, we see authority is sometimes secular leadership. Government officials, we have to recognize that God put them there. Now, we might not like what they do and all that, but we need to pray for them. That's the best thing we can do for them, is to pray for them, you see. But they are authority, and we have to acknowledge that. We have to submit to that authority in this world in which we live in. There's a lot of people that we have to submit to, not only secular leaders, but spiritual leaders. Our pastor and leaders in the church, we have to submit to them because God put them there. We didn't put them there. God did. God directed their lives to put them in that position that they're in, and we're to submit to them. And we find that in the Word of God. As we submit to God and His Word, we're going to find our place in God's church. We're going to find our place in God's church. We also see this, faithfulness. Faithfulness is so important when we submit to God and to His Word. The Word of God instructs us to be faithful to Him. To be faithful to Him. We find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, how we're to be faithful to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But do so much more as you see the day approaching. That is, the Lord's coming, folks. He's coming soon. I believe that. And you know, we don't want to miss out. I heard a guy say just a couple weeks ago, standing back here in the hallway, he was out one Sunday. He said, you know, I heard something, I'll miss Sunday when I won't hear. That's the way it always is. Whenever you miss a Sunday, you're going to miss something that you need to hear and you should have heard, you see. So it's good to be faithful to God's house. Faithful to God's house. Faithful to God's house is encouraging to others, isn't it? It's discouraging to stand up here to teach or to preach, whatever you're going to do, and see pews that used to be people in them, they're in them today. Why? I don't know why, but it's discouraging to us, you see. It's discouraging to us. So we see that we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful in reading and studying the Word of God. Reading and studying God's Word. And my folks, listen, this is areas in my life, in your life, that Satan is really going to fight. He's really going to fight. Faithfulness to God's house and faithfulness in reading God's Word and studying God's Word. He don't want you, he don't want me to read the Bible or study the Bible. And he's going to keep us so busy, if we're not careful, doing this, doing that, that we don't make time to read the Word of God. But we need to make that time, folks. Listen, you know, there are many ways that we can get weak spiritually. But the most important way to get weak, as far as the Christian, is not to read the Word of God. Not to read the Word of God. You're not being fed. Therefore, if you're weak, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. Because you don't have the spiritual nourishment that you need in your life to go through every day and face the things that you have to face. The world, you know, is not like it used to be. The people in the world are not like they used to be. You know, I mean, it's harder more today than ever to talk to somebody about the Lord, because nowadays people don't want to talk to anybody about the Lord. They don't have the time. They don't have the time. We go visiting every week, and we find more and more so that people are just so busy, they don't have the time to talk to anybody about the Lord. And that's sad. I talked with a guy this past week. He's sick. He literally looks like he could die anytime. And he told me, and the friend was with me, I don't have time to talk to you guys. I said to myself, yeah, you may not have time to talk to anybody because you may be gone before I leave this house, you know? And it's sad. It breaks my heart to realize, hey, here's a man that's sick. He's got cancer. He's dying. He could die any day. But yet, he don't have time to even let anybody talk to him about the Lord. He don't have the time. You know, that's sad. That's sad. But we need to read and study our Bible. We need to witness to the lost people. And we need to worship God. Worship a true and a holy God. I'm so glad that we have a true and a holy God to worship, aren't you? It's not Muhammad, it's not anybody, Confucius, and all that. It's one true and living God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. And he deserves our time to come and to worship him and to praise him when we come to God's house. So we need to submit ourselves to God and to his word to know our place in the church. Secondly, we need to seek God's will. Seek God's will to find our place in the church. Did you realize that God wants you to know his will, his will for your life? He wants you to know. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. He wants you to be wise. He wants you to know his will for your life. You know, if you're saved, you've accomplished that. That's the most important thing, to be saved. But then on, there's more things he wants you to know. Notice conditions for guidance. Turn to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. How does God guide us? We know he does through his word. Again, we have to submit ourselves to God and his word in order to seek his will. Psalm 143. God wants you to know his will for your life. We see here in this verse the key to God's will for your life. Psalm 143 and verse number 10. The Bible says, the psalmist says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of the unrighteous. Teach me. In other words, if I want to know my place in God's church, I got to have a desire to want to know that will. God, I've got to have the desire And God gives us that desire if we'll read His Word. But I'm going to tell you this, folks. If I don't read God's Word, that desire won't be there. It won't be there. But the more I read the Word of God, the more that desire is going to grow, and I want to be where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do. Because I read the Word of God. See, I'm feeding the inner man, the Spirit of God that indwells me, to drive me, to instruct me, to teach me, to help me in my life, that I might know that will of God. Also, back in Psalm chapter 40, just a few verses back, Psalm chapter 40, look here. Conditions for God's guidance. First of all, I must have a desire to know. And then Psalm 40, verse number 8. The Bible says, the psalmist says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Because God's law is in his heart, what does he do? He delights to do thy will. He delights to do thy will. We must have a willingness to obey the Word of God also. Being willing to obey the Word of God. As we, again, meditate upon the Word of God, and God speaks to our heart, He's going to give us that desire. He's going to give us that desire to want to obey Him. And in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 5 and 6, all of you know these verses, in seeking God's will here, we must trust God. We must trust God. We must desire to know, we must be willing to obey, and then we must trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and believe it not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct thy paths. Okay? We must trust God. We must trust God for His will in our life, for His place in the church that He wants us to be, He desires us to be, you see. And then we see in Romans chapter 12, we must give our lives back to God. Give our lives back to God. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you what? Present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but you be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God desires us to give our lives to Him. That it is Christ living in us, our soul, that is a living sacrifice. Christ living in us. Paul talks about it in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live, yet not I. Okay? But what is it? It's Christ living within me. And now I live my life by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. See? I'm crucified with Christ, though. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, I live. So we see we're to seek God's will to find our place in God's church. We're to submit to God and His Word to find God's place in the church for us. Submission is very important. Seeking is very important. And then we find we're to surrender to God. Romans 8:28. All of you know this verse. What does it say? Psalms 8. We know what? Let's read it. Romans 8:28. I don't want to quote it wrong. Romans 8:28, we must surrender to God's wisdom. Wisdom. Well, we know what? We know that all things work together. It's good. To them that love the Lord, let's read right here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. See? Surrender to God's wisdom. God has all wisdom, folks. He knows all things about me, all things about you, doesn't He? There's nothing hidden from God. Therefore, we find we're to seek to understand what God has given us, the talents, the gifts, the abilities that God has placed in you. God wants you to use them. God wants you to use them, you see. God knows what we're capable of. Why? Because He made us. He made us. He knows what we're capable of. Therefore, we're to surrender to God's wisdom. He has created us, first of all, in His own image. He made us like unto Him. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We also see that He has given us the great gift of what? Salvation. He's given us the great gift of salvation. He created us, He's given us salvation, and then we find He has bestowed upon us as saved children of God spiritual gifts and abilities that He wants us to use for His glory. And therefore, we can find our place in His church. We can find our place in His church by using, submit ourselves to God and His Word, seek God's will, and then surrender to God's wisdom. Let God be your guide in what you're seeking and trying to do for your life, you see. And then we find, last but not least, serve and share in God's work. This is one of the greatest privileges we could have as a child of God, to serve and to share in the work of God. Listen, folks, there's not a greater work on this earth than the work of God. The church, God's work, trying to reach the lost for Christ. It's the greatest thing in the world you could possibly do. Turn to Romans again, back to chapter 12. You're close to Ephesians 8. I want to read some verses here. I like for the Word of God to penetrate within our minds. You need to hear the Word of God, not just somebody sitting here talking. But I want you to look at when we're talking about serving and sharing God's Word here. Whatever we do, we're to honor God. We're to honor God. We're to bring glory to Him. Now look in Romans chapter 12. I want to begin reading verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, for the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the purpose and proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. I abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. With brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, excuse me, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. This is about serving in the work of God. Serving. This is things we do. Folks, this is instruction for God's children, how we're to live our lives here on this earth. You see, we're to live. May we find our place in God's church. There's a place for you. There's a place for you, see. Use the spiritual gifts. Use the ability. Use the talents that God has given you in His work. I tell you, it's a blessing to be able to do something for God. Amen. Everybody can do something. Everybody can do something. I don't care who we are. There's something we can do. If nothing else, and I say this not to put it last, because I think it's the most important thing we can do, we can all pray. We can all pray. It certainly should not be last on our list. as far as the value of things in this world in which we do. Paul Chappell said this, and I quote, "Are you still diligently living for God and serving Him? Even in these last days, now is not the time to ease up, but to charge forward and continue living for the Lord." I agree with that. Now is the time, because time is running out. Time is running out. We don't have much longer to serve the Lord. I really believe that in this world. Either God's going to take us home individually, or the rapture is going to take place and God's children are going to go home. We don't have much time left. We don't have much time left. We really don't. So, dear Lord, teach me what to do about my place in your church. My place in your church. Church, what does it mean? Church means nothing unless you are in it. Did you get it? You spell the word church, C-H-U-R-C-H. What is church without you are? It's nothing. You're in the very middle of the word church. And church is nothing unless you are is in it. Church won't be nothing to you unless you're in it. It will mean nothing to you whatsoever. But if you're in it faithfully and involved like we ought to be as God's children, it's going to mean everything to us. It's going to mean everything to us. God help me to find my place in your church that I might serve you and bring honor and glory to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the Word of God to give us instruction, Lord, even as your children. Lord, I just pray now, Lord, as we read these verses, I pray, God, that each one of us, Lord, we find our place, Lord, where you would have us to be. Lord, we know there's something that all can do. And God, I pray you help us to be busy. Lord, we realize time is running out. Lord, help us to try to win people to Christ, read our Bible, pray, study, witness, all these things. Dear God, that we might, as we submit ourselves to you and your word, that you might guide us. You might help us to seek your will daily for our lives. Thank you for these that are here today. God, I pray you bless these dear people. Help them, dear God. Encourage them. Lord, if there's one sitting in this class today, Lord, it's lost. I pray somehow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, would speak to that heart and help them to come to Christ today before it's too late. Lord, we're about to go into the next service. I pray, God, for the singing, the congregation, the special singing. Lord, I pray for the anointing upon that. I pray, God, for the playing. I pray, God, especially now for our pastor. He stands to, again, break the bread of life to us and share with us the message you've laid on his heart. God, please help him, anoint him afresh, and give us again today what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.